Morning, everyone. If I haven't said good morning, I'm ready to you. So lovely to have you all here. We're in our current series. Can you all hear me? Is this fan being a problem? Okay. Thank you. It's nice up here. So we're in our current series, Ready Are Ready, on a mission with Jesus, going from meetings to mission. And when we had our preaching team meeting, which we do have from time to time when we have a new series, we meet together and we pray about what God wants to say through the series. And what I want to speak about this morning are some verses that he showed me in that time of prayer. And so as we read these three verses, just three verses I'm going to put up for you on the screens, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is the focus of these verses in the context of mission? Okay, thanks, Nathan. It's from Isaiah 55, verses 9 to 11. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same way with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Did you notice the emphasis there on four things? God's ways, which are higher than our ways. God's thoughts, which are higher than our thoughts. God's word, which he sends. And God's desires or purposes, which he accomplishes. That was the focus that I noticed. And I'm going to read those scriptures again. And this time they'll be highlighted for you. So I really want you to get this. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. And you all need to know that I need to also be sitting where all of you are sitting. This is not a message from up here to you in any way. Okay, I should be sitting down there, but it's not so easy to hear me if I'm down there. Okay, so we're called, every one of us, as Christ followers, as we've heard many, many times in this series, to be on mission with Jesus. And the question I want to ask is, whose mission is it actually to reach the world? It's Jesus' mission, God's mission. What will God use to reach his world from those scriptures? His word. Will it fail? No, it won't. Not if he sends it. It won't fail. Whose purposes will be eventually accomplished? God's purposes will. Okay, so now the next question is, where in being on mission with Jesus is our focus? Is it on our mission? Is it on our ability or non-ability to witness? Is it on will we fail or will we succeed? Is it on the people maybe that we think we should be reaching? Where is our focus? Okay, so this is what we want to talk about this morning. Because at the end of the day, he will send his word where he wants it to go, and it will reach the people that he is wanting at that time to reach. And you see, this is where we need to see who God is. What's behind his mission? And there are three things about God that we want to talk about here. He's the all-knowing God. He knows the people whose hearts are ready to receive the gospel. He knows the people whose hearts are just beginning to respond to maybe hear it for the first time. We all had a time in our lives when we heard it for the first time. Maybe we didn't respond then, but we heard then. And that was God's timing. He knows the needs and the longings that you feel in your human heart. He knows the longings and feelings that every single person in this whole world has in their heart at a particular time. He knows. He's the all-knowing God. And he also knows which believers will cross the paths or the orbits of those people who are ready to respond to the gospel. He knows. There are three fancy words to describe these things. Omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent. Present everywhere. Sorry, that's the one that I left out. He's the God who's present everywhere. He's omnipresent. That means that no one is outside of his reach. Omnipotent, all-powerful, he can reach anyone's heart. So those three things we need to bear in mind about God. We are not all-knowing. We don't know what's going on in people's hearts, but God does know. We are not certainly not all-powerful, but God is. And we're definitely not present everywhere, but God is. And so these three things about God are what makes God, God. They are what makes God, God. That's the God that is behind his mission, and we mustn't forget that. So in this mission to reach the world, we're in partnership with him. We are. But he's the CEO. We're his ambassadors, but he's the president of his kingdom. And we are here to execute his plans in his time frames. And guess what? He knows best. So do we have a part to play? Of course we do. And Erwin next week is going to be looking at that, talking to that. But today, and if you want a title for this message, it's this. I want to focus on God's part in his mission. So in the Bible, we read about God's will, what God wants. We read that it is God's will that not one person should be lost, that each person has the opportunity to respond to the gospel. The gospel, the good news that Jesus died to save us from the power and the penalty of our sin. So we could be forgiven. So we could have a personal relationship with him. And he says there's no other way. There is no other way given under heaven by which we can be saved. Now how many people are there in the world today? Anyone know? I had to look it up. How many people are in God's world today? The current world population is estimated to be 7.8 billion people. I can't get my head around that. 7.8 million, million people. South Africa's population is about 58.8 million people. We can't get around in our heads. I can't. You take the population of three cities in India, Delhi, Mumbai, and Kolkata, and they come in just under 58.8 million people. We have no idea. We think the N3 is busy. We have no idea how many people there are in the world today. And you know what? God wants to reach every one of them. Does that seem to you to be a bit impossible? Maybe a bit too far away to imagine? That's why I've got the telescope here. Can you all see it? It's a telescope here. It's not ours. Belongs to Doug and Heather. But if I want to see something that's far away that I almost can't see with my eyes, that's when you have to look through the telescope. And it's very important, isn't it, that you look through the correct end of the telescope. What happens if you look through this part? It's even further away. Okay, how many of you have put binoculars on the wrong way around, maybe, along your life somewhere, and it's wrong, you quickly turn it the right way around. And God needs to be seen through the right end of the telescope. We need to have him in focus. We have to have the right perspective. Sometimes we look at God through the wrong end of the telescope. Are we seeing him in the context of mission? Are we seeing him for who he really is? Last week, Carl Schmidt spoke about that movie Indescribable by Louis Giglio. Do you remember it, those of you who were here? It's a movie, those of you who haven't seen it, it's very good. It's about how huge the universe is compared to how small and insignificant we are. And yet how much God loves us. individually and how much that message meant so much to Cole as he was sharing it. The psalmist asked, probably he was looking up in the heavens one night, and he said, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" God's love for people is so great, far greater than ours. Person out there with a great big need to be saved, your love for that person is minimal compared to what God's love for that person is. It's so deep. So when it comes to God reaching people with his love, are we perhaps looking at the wrong end of the telescope, focusing on our love, or our lack of time to be loving, or whatever it might be? It's God's love we need to focus on. Let's not lose sight of how much God's love is behind his mission. So the first thing to consider then about God's part in his mission is his deep love for people. That's the very first aspect. And you know, years ago in the 1960s, that was a long time ago, some of you weren't even born then, I was a university student and I went on a camp, and there was a missionary who was a speaker at the camp. And he was quite an interesting man. He knew all about the stars. He had studied them. And he was a missionary up way up in Africa somewhere, and he used to guide himself home on the boat using the stars as his guide. At night it was pitch dark. And so he really had a lot to share with us. And he gave us, back in the day, long before Louis Giglio was probably even born, he gave us his version of indescribable and painted this amazing picture of the universe before us and how insignificant we are in it and our place in it, the earth. And then he said something like this. He said, "The universe is probably 99.9% of all that is. And we are probably, on earth here, we are probably 0.1% of all that is. But what do we think about with our little minds? Probably 0.1% God, and probably 99.9% of what affects us in our little world." And you see, it's an inaccurate perspective on life, and especially on mission. God is so much greater than we are, and he is behind mission. It's his mission. So let's make sure we're looking through the right end of the telescope when it comes to how much love God has for people. And so when we do that, somehow our own fears then diminish about it. Our own lack of experience, or our own lack of knowledge of the Bible, or whatever it might be. God has got such a love for the people. We don't need to find them intimidating, because God's love is loving them, and we need to believe that. And then the second thing, which I'm going to mention, is what did Jesus say at the end of Matthew's Gospel when he gave the Great Commission? He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Therefore go and make disciples." So often we have to be saying, "Therefore go and make disciples." And yes, that's a good emphasis, but the emphasis is on his authority, his limitless authority, all authority in heaven and on earth. Now when you get stopped by a traffic cop on the side of the road and he says, "Show me your license," he's got authority to do that. So that's why you have to show him his license. Why? Because he's been given it. We have been given the authority of Jesus to go in his name to witness. So let's keep that in mind. The second thing is his limitless authority, which is behind us as we witness, as we speak his words and live our lives before him. And then there's thirdly his great power for us to use. Power is different from authority. In Acts 1:8 we read, "You will," as Christ follows, he spoke to his followers, "you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Not before, after. You then will be my witnesses all over, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So my question here is, well, first of all, let me just describe. That word power, the Greek word is dunamis, from which we get dynamite. It's almost as though he's saying, when you speak words to somebody and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's dynamite. It's like it doesn't hit the wall and come back. It goes in to the person's heart. Okay? Because it's Not your power, it's God's power that's in operation. And so, my question is, has the Holy Spirit come upon you? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you asked Jesus to do that? If you never have, you need to start asking Him and seeking Him to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He never meant you to live the Christian life without His Holy Spirit and without His power. God never meant us ever to witness in our own strength. And when we do it in our own strength, we fail. But when we do it in God's power, it's different. When we preach in God's power, it's different. When we speak and live our lives in God's power, it's different. It's God's power. And the other Sunday night, two weekends ago, I had a dream. Now the Bible says it's your old men who will dream dreams, but this old woman dreamt a dream. And it was a church service. It wasn't here. It was somewhere else. I don't know where. But it was a very interesting dream. There was leadership there, but somehow the Holy Spirit was orchestrating everything in this dream. And people I'd never seen in my life were participating. And people were bringing their friends. And you knew that in the dream, that they were bringing their friends. And there was such a joy. There was such a flow of this Holy Spirit. And you know what, Anne Muggleton, you came up to me with some other people, and you brought this young girl with dark hair. I can see her face in front of me today. And with shining, hungry eyes, she came to me and she said, "I want Jesus." It was such a special thing. And you know how easy it was in the dream for the words to just flow out of me to say, "This is how you can receive Jesus into your life," which she then did. And then I said, "Now I want to pray for you straight away to be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then I woke up because Robert woken up and was going to switch off the fan. I wanted the dream to continue. But it was such a wonderful, wonderful dream. And it can be like that. It can be like that. Can be like that. And so God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, His love. He's given us the authority of His name. And He gives us the power of His Holy Spirit. So when you look through the telescope at the right way at these things, it'll give us confidence, courage, and faith to witness. It's not an easy job. Jesus said as much. What did He say in Matthew 19:23-26, if you want to take a note? He said, "Truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich," someone without any sense of need. "It is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." And the disciples said, "But who then can be saved?" And Jesus said something very wonderful. He said, "With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Such a special thing. That's the right perspective we have. If somebody out there is intimidating, you think they'll never come to know Jesus. With God, all things are possible. So let's think for a moment. How did you get saved, get born again, commit your life to Christ, come to the point where you ask Jesus into your life? How did God do it? You've probably all got a story. For me, the first thing that God did was changed my group of friends when I was in grade 9. I wasn't aware that He was doing it at the time, but He did it very amazingly. This wonderful story, not time to tell it now. But it was engineered in every way. And then secondly, one of my new friends was one day in the religious instruction lesson, which our Afrikaans teacher, whom none of us liked, was actually giving us the religious instruction lesson. And my friend was having a ding-dong argument with him about the Bible and about Jesus and about the scriptures, etc., etc. And in the end, in absolute frustration, she said to him, and I can hear it today, "But sir, I know Him." Teacher was silenced. But you know what God did in that moment? He arrested me. I thought, I don't know Him. I only know about Him. And that was a very significant point, something that God did in my life. And then the next year, in grade 10, I was at a Christian camp with all my new friends. Hadn't yet made a commitment to Christ. And the speaker shared the way of salvation very, very clearly. It was the first time that I could consciously remember in my life ever hearing the gospel. And I didn't do anything about it at that point, but I heard. And very soon after that, I went to a Christian rally that we had into schools one. It was always a great time as you met all your friends from all the other schools, and it was wonderful. And we watched a film which was exceptionally challenging. And that night, knowing how to give my life to Christ, I knelt down next to my bed. I was 16, and gave my life to Jesus. And it was so special. That's how God did it. But you know, at the time, I was totally unconscious of the fact that it was His timing, that maybe people had been praying for me down the years, maybe these Christian friends of mine had been praying for me. I had no idea of that. That was what God was doing behind the scenes. There was the power of the Holy Spirit intersecting my life, which I didn't know about. There was the authority of Jesus. That speaker who gave told me the way of salvation came. It came with the authority of Jesus. I didn't know that at the time. And so what we don't know, God does know. And that person there that you maybe says, share with him the story or this testimony or whatever it might be. Send him this SMS, send her this WhatsApp or what. As he prompts you, he knows what we don't know. And sometimes it happens that you feel led to speak to somebody. And that very morning, I mean, we've heard this sort of testimony so many times. They were praying, God, please send somebody across my path today. And it happens. And God has you have the privilege of being used by God in that situation. And so God gets the stage ready for people's salvations. He is a God who plans. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. So the miracle of my salvation, of your salvation, of anyone's salvation is entirely His. It's His doing. And I want to ask you what might seem like an odd question this morning. How many of you had a piece of bread for breakfast? Piece of toast? Anybody? Tell me, Barbara, did you think about the rain and the snow coming down from heaven and watering the ground and causing the grain to grow and making seed for the farmer? And it's a very natural process, isn't it? So that bread comes onto your table. And there is a natural process that's in operation. When God sends out His word, it will produce fruit. It will accomplish what He sends it to accomplish. So let's believe that when we witness. So now let's have a look at God's word as such. I just want to say that God's word is something that's communicated. It might be spoken, it might be written. And in that vein, I've got four different entities which can be classed as God's word. And here's the first one, the heavens. The heavens. Have you been on a dark night and seen the heavens? The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. And when you think about it, there's not one person probably of that 7.8 billion people in the world who has not looked up and had a chance to see God's glory. People get convicted because creation speaks. It does speak. And so let's not forget that. Secondly, the written word, the obvious one, the Bible. 66 books revealing God's will. Revealing God's purposes, His ways with mankind. As told by the prophets, as told by the writers of the Gospels, as told by the letters to the churches. All of them inspired by the Holy Spirit to write down God's words to us. And every time it is read or preached, God is sending it out to bear fruit and to accomplish what He sent it for, what He wants. And then there's Jesus Himself, the living word. In Hebrews 1:1-3, long ago, says the Bible, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. Spoken to us through His Son. The Son radiates God's glory and expresses the very character of God. John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. Jesus declares the glory of God through his life. He expresses it, expresses God's character absolutely perfectly. You get people who always say, God can't be a God of love. Look at all the suffering in the world. And our answer to them sincerely needs to be, look at Jesus. What did he do for suffering people? What did he do on the cross to rescue people who are trapped in sin? What did he do? He showed incredible love. That's the God who expressed himself through his Son. And then fourthly, and this is an interesting one, his church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 2, Paul speaks, writes to the church that was meeting at Corinth, and he said, you are our letter. And in verse 3 he goes on to explain that. He says, this letter is not written with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of God. It's carved not on tablets of stone like the Ten Commandments, but on human hearts. And further on in that chapter, he writes about us reflecting, guess what? The glory of God. And how the Lord, who's the Spirit, is making us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Those are the words. We are a letter to be read. Our lives speak. Are they speaking the glory of God to those around us? Because when they do, it will speak volumes about the God we serve. It will open the way for the words of the gospel. It will give us the way in to share the words of the gospel. What does the Bible say about the gospel? The gospel, the good news about Jesus, is the power of God to salvation to them that believe. So when you witness, as led by the Holy Spirit, which simply means being under his lordship, being at the right place, at the right time, speaking to the right people that he wants you to speak to. We really can, when we do that, expect God to be there, to come to the table, as it were, with his power, his authority, and his love for that person. And so let's keep looking through the right end of the telescope. So I want to just put up one more verse. Thank you, Nathan. Just the same verse. And let's just think about that. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. No mention of intimidating people who reject the word and da-da-da-da-da. It will do what God wants it to do, and let's be confident in that. Okay, let's pray. Father, forgive us when we've been so scared sometimes to speak about you. When we've been so conscious of our own lack of knowledge and experience and all the rest of it. Forgive us, we pray, each one of us. All of us have experienced that. But Lord Jesus, we might be in the minority as Christians, but as far as you're concerned, we're in the majority because you are there with all your love, all your authority, and all your power. Please help us when the next moment comes and we get a little nudge from the Holy Spirit to do something, to remember these three things, your great love, deep love for the person, your authority in your name we're doing it, not ours, and your power that we need, not ours. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.